Good morning.
Good morning.
What a lovely morning this is. It seems as if the Lord has heard some of the prayers that Lance Lambert and I have been praying ahead of this conference. It almost seemed like a cool Danish morning this morning. When I go to United States, I always used to ask my dear friends in the prayer group to pray for two things. And the first one is, years back, I usually in the summertime had a bad allergy, hay fever. And it was terrible, especially during hot weather. But in 76, the Lord took it away from me, and I haven't had it since. It went on for 7 years previous to that trip I made in 76. So now they don't have to pray for that anymore. But then I asked them to pray for the weather condition, because we cool-temperamented people from far up north, we have some problems coming to this kind of weather. So I really rejoice this morning in the Lord, seeing some answers to prayer. I'm sure that Lance has been looking to the Lord as I have been looking to the Lord for a more cool weather. I heard it was terrible last year, so I just thank the Lord I was not here. I was way up in Finland. It's nice cool up in Finland. So you see, we have got such an illustration during the whole night of the prayer of an earnest, righteous man to pray like Elijah. And the rain poured down. And even the other scripture, where the fire came down and there was thundering and lightning. Praise the Lord. I just hope that nobody will begin to pray for a stop of this good weather. Well, I just want to share with you this morning on the matter of prayer and praise. And now I think we begin to come into some more specific things concerning the prayer life. I do believe there is a very strong connection between prayer and praise. And I hardly can find any scripture in the book speaking on prayer where we do not are being exhorted to give thanks or to praise and to worship. It seems to me that prayer and praise are two things that are knitted closely together and cannot be separated. If we really want to be effective in prayer, I do believe that we must learn to be effective in praise. First of all, learn to worship and to praise the Lord, and then we would be able to really come into effective prayer in our lives. We can just look at a few scriptures to open up with in New Testament. First Thessalonians and chapter 5. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. I do see a kind of connection here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Somehow we are not able to endure and to obey the commandment of praying without ceasing if we have not learned to rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice always, and then pray without ceasing. So this matter of praising, this matter of worship, is something that is linked to the matter of prayer. And it also says, in everything give thanks. So we must learn to praise if we are going to be effective intercessors. If we turn to Colossians 4, verse 6, no, verse 2 it is. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Again, you have the combination of prayer and thanksgiving. And we can go to a third place in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer and supplication with something added to it, with another element, with thanksgiving. So we do see that it is very clear in the Word of God that prayer and praise is linked together. And if we want to be effective in prayer, we must learn to be effective in praise and worship. Now, what will worship do? What will praise do for us in the matter of prayer? I think that it will really enable us to come into the presence of the Lord. And we do all believe and understand that we cannot be effective in prayer until we have come before the Lord, until we have entered into His very presence. It is then that prayer begins really to operate in our lives. So it's important for us to know how we can come into the presence of the Lord, how we can make contact. This is a problem we find everywhere with the Lord's people, that they have great problems to make contact with the Lord. And many have given up going to prayer meetings because they feel it so heavy. And they feel that their prayers are coming out of their mouth and they're going up and hitting the ceiling and falling back on their heads. And that they have no contact, and then they lose heart and get disappointed, and they say, what's the use of joining in the prayer meeting? I cannot get through. I cannot make contact with the Lord. It is so important that we know how we can come into the presence of the Lord, because only when we come into the presence of the Lord and we make contact with Him, we can really start praying. I'm a man of communication. I have been in the telephone company for 15 years. And I know it's no use if you want to make a phone call. It's no use that you go to the telephone and you lift up the receiver and you start talking. You have to make contact first, and you know how to do that. You put your little finger into the holes and you begin, or you press the buttons, you begin to dial. And then when you hear somebody in the other end, you begin talking. It's so important to give the contact before you can begin your conversation. And this is the same in the matter of prayer. Until we really get into the presence of the Lord and we have made contact with Him, we cannot really pray according to His will. I do believe some people don't need the telephone. Some are, I have a member of my family, whenever she calls us, I tell her, well, you could put down the receiver and open the window and yell, because I'll hear you. Well, this is another problem. Some of us, we think that we ought really to yell and call and shout. This is not necessary. Sometimes it is good to have a joyful noise. We have a group that call themselves a joyful noise, but sometimes when I announce them when they are singing in a gospel meeting, I say, now we will listen to awful noise. We don't have to shout and yell. What we need is to make the contact, so we know that the Lord is at the other end of the line and He's listening. We have contact with Him. And this is what praise will do. If you turn to Psalm 100, the very well-known psalm that speaks of, we could say, the procedure of how we come into the presence of the Lord, there is a certain procedure that we have to observe when we want to get into the presence of the Lord. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all ye earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Well, here we have some things that will show us the importance of learning to praise the Lord and to come before Him in the right manner and observe the procedure that He has ordered for anybody who wants to come into His presence. I often say, if you want to be around the throne, you must join those who are there and you must do what they are doing, and you know what they are doing. Or day and night before the throne, they are worshipping the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne. It's impossible to imagine that someone could stand in the presence of the Lord and not be a part of that worship and praise. Wherever the Lord is and where His presence is, it is surrounded with worship and praise day and night. So if we have to enter into His presence, we have to learn to come in the right manner, to observe the procedure that He has given us to come. And here we find that the psalmist is saying, come before Him with joyful singing. Come before Him with joyful singing. I do believe it's really essential that we learn to sing, really sing, from our hearts, to come before the Lord with joyful singing. And then it says in verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I imagine that there is some big and thick doors separating people from the presence of the Lord. Not everyone can run into the presence of the Lord just like that. Oh no. He is a holy God. You cannot just run in to His presence whatsoever. You have to learn to come in the way that you ought to come, because you are coming into the presence of the King. And you know, I cannot go into the presence of our Queen just as I am. It's a long procedure. If I want to come before our Queen, I have to to do certain things. I was the one who took care of the king's, the old king's telephone exchange when I was in the telephone company. And I never shall forget my boss. He said to me when he handed over to me that privileged job of looking after the royal telephone exchange. He said to me, "Mr. Fasius, don't you ever go down there without wearing a tie and a nice clean shirt, and put on your jacket and brush your shoes, because you never know when you walk in the royal castle, you may just run into the king." And then he would say, "Who's that fellow there?" And I want you to be a worthy representative of the Royal Danish Telephone Company. So we have to learn how to get into the presence of the king. In old times, it was very difficult to come into the presence of the king. And even when we read in the Old Testament, we know that it was not an easy thing. For instance, Queen Esther, when she were to appear before the king, it could be dangerous. If she went in a wrong way, it was a risk. She could risk her life. We have to come into the presence of the Lord in the right manner. He is the worthy King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I used to imagine that these big gates are closed for everyone who really don't know the right procedure. But here you have it. You enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. It's as if I don't know if you have got this fairy tale of Ali Baba and the 40 robbers. Have you got it? Can you remember these robbers? They had hidden all the treasures, all the stolen goods in a hidden place with a door locked. And only the one who knew the right word could open the door. And the right word was, "Sesam, Caesar, open up." If they didn't know that word, they couldn't enter in. But when we come in the morning, and I don't know how you feel in the morning, but I feel like a piece of Sahara. And my tongue is like a piece of sandpaper. And I'm the other day in Raleigh, I really thought that something new was happening, because I woke up and I saw on my watch that it was 5:10, and I felt so good and so alive that I just, well, I think, "Oh boy, you're just becoming like Hudson Taylor." He went up he went up every morning at 5:00 and worship the Lord, and I thought, great, the miracle has happened. But then I had a strange feeling that something was wrong, and then when I went out in the bathroom, I heard noise in the house, and I went into the living room, and there was Mrs. Marmolides all dressed up. And then I realized that my watch has stopped. It was 7:30, and they were all ready to have their lunch. But you see, the thing that comforts me is I have read in another version about the life story of Hudson Taylor, a more honest one. That it is true he went up at 5:00 in the morning, but then after an hour he went to bed again. Well, I feel so relieved now. It's true, we are of the same nature as Elijah, aren't we? But we have to learn to come before the Lord in the right manner. And it is a problem sometimes to make contact. And that is why that some of us have such great problems of becoming constant in prayer. We just cannot get through. It is if we bang our heads toward these gates and they won't yield, they won't open up, we cannot come into the presence of the Lord. But then we ought to understand that we can come and we can make contact if we really know how to praise and worship Him. A friend of mine is always saying to me and to our friends whenever he ministers in our midst, if you've got 10 minutes during the day, I hope you've got more time for the Lord, but let's say if you've got 10 minutes, use 8 minutes to praise and worship the Lord, and you will find that the last 2 minutes will be very effective in prayer. Because as soon as you come before the Lord and you are in His presence, prayer will not be a problem. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So we must know how to exercise our spirits, how to make contact with God and come into His presence. I was so glad reading about being filled with the Spirit in the Swedish Bible the other day in Ephesians 5:18, and I just saw something that really made an impression upon me. Ephesians 5:18, in the English Bible it says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with all your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." Now, in the Swedish Bible, and even in the Danish too, there's no separation between the phrase, "be filled with the Spirit," and then speaking to one another in psalms. In fact, it's translated like that. Be filled with the Spirit as you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say that we need to understand that the thing of being filled with the Spirit, and that's our basic need when we want to learn to pray. We need the assistance, the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit in order to be able to pray. But sometimes we just feel that the matter of being filled with the Spirit is something that we have to sit upon our chair and wait for, and someday something comes in through the open window and will hit us upon our heads, and we get so blessed that we turn the white out in our eyes and the tongues come forth and runs like a propeller, and we get so blessed, and then we can begin to praise and worship. I think we all know that we have to exercise our spirits. We have to cooperate with the Lord. Even in the matter of being filled with the Spirit, is nothing happening automatically while we wait in a passive condition. It's dangerous to get passive. We must be an active people. We must learn to exercise our spirit. And this is how we exercise our spirit. We begin to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to sing and make melody with our heart to the Lord. And that's how we begin to get into the presence of the Lord, how these gates yield and open up, and we come into the presence of the Lord, and we are ready for prayer and for spiritual warfare. In 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks about how we can exercise our spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. I do thank the Lord that when he filled me with his spirit, he gave me the gift of speaking in tongues. And whenever I feel dull and dead and empty within, and I very often do, especially in the morning, I'm like an engine in an automobile. You put the key in and you turn the key and it goes like nothing happens. Yesterday we went to Ernie Heil and his wife and I, we went for a trip down to Richmond, and when he turned his key, it went like that. He said it's because it's too hot. Well, whenever it's too, whether it's too hot or too cold, sometimes it's difficult really to get our spirit exercised. And I do thank the Lord for giving me the gift of tongues, because I have experienced that through that little gift, which is a gift mostly for personal use, I can edify my spirit. I can exercise my spirit, and through that I can come into a position where I can be in contact with the Lord, even for prayer. And if you haven't got that gift, the Lord may have given you something else. Some people get an overflow of joy when they get filled with the Spirit. Well, use it. Some get an overflow of peace. Well, use it. So that our spirits get exercised and we come into the presence of the Lord, and we are able to have contact with him, and we are ready for prayer and spiritual warfare. It's very important. It's a simple thing, but it's very important for us to practice this in our lives. And I see the way I've experienced the things that Paul is speaking of here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, what is the outcome? Then I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. Paul is not against speaking in tongues or singing with our spirit. He's not against it. What he is teaching on here is how we ought to behave when we are in the church. But it's not against speaking in tongues or singing with our spirits. And I do see something here that's at least the way that it has become alive to me. Then whenever I feel that my mind is very often unfruitful, I cannot find the words when I want to pray. I cannot find the mind of the Lord, the will of the Lord. But when then I begin to pray with my spirit, this is the kind of initiates the prayer with my mind. It sort of leads me into the presence of the Lord, where the Lord can touch my mind and can open my mind and can give me the subject I ought to pray for and lead me on. So it is essential that we really learn to worship and praise the Lord with whatever he has given us.
Turn your cassette over.
But we have a problem. I imagine And I know we have a problem because what are we going to present to the Lord? What are we going to say to the Lord? How do we really worship the Lord? What can we bring Him? We used to say that we come empty-handed. We haven't got a thing to give Him, have we? No, we haven't. Not in ourselves, at least. But nevertheless, the Lord has ordered us to come before His presence, not empty-handed. Come with a joyful singing. Come with thanksgiving. Enter in with praise. And even so, Moses, the Lord ordered how the people of Israel should come before His face. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 16. And verse 16. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, and at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. But what can we come with? What do we have? We are all empty-handed people. We have nothing to bring to the Lord. And please do understand that the Lord is not interested in anything that we have. There was a church member once that wrote to Dr. Torrey and complained or asked the question, why cannot I really get into this business of praying and getting an answer to my prayer? I've been praying to the Lord in a certain on a certain matter, and it is if He is not even listening to me. And then this man goes on in his letter to Dr. Torrey, and I've been an elder for almost 30 years, and I've been the head of the Sunday school for all these years. And I go to the meetings regularly. And I love my wife and my children. And then Dr. Torrey is answering back in a letter and saying, well, it's very clear to me why you cannot really get into contact with the Lord in this matter, because you base it all upon your own works. And that doesn't make any impression upon the Lord. Don't come with all what you have or what you have done and say, Lord, you know that the last 2 weeks have been really fine. I've been able to pray and study the Word, and I've been nice to my wife and not gotten irritated as I used to. How about that, Lord? Now give me the things that I am praying for. The Lord won't listen. He's not impressed. We are empty-handed people. We have got nothing. Even if you have got something, it's nothing in the eyes of the Lord. Don't bring it. It's like the difference between Cain and Abel. Cain, he came with the fruits of his works, the fruits of the soil that he had cultivated, and the Lord was not pleased about it. But Abel came in another way. He took a lamb and slaughtered the lamb, and the blood was shed, and the Lord was listening. He paid attention to the worship of Abel. Now let's see here how the Lord is directing Moses to speak to the people of Israel, how they ought to come into the presence of the Lord. And here there were three times in the year, but for our part it's every day, thank God. We don't have to wait for a special occasion where we can appear before the Lord and be in His presence. We can be there always. That's great. Now, here it says in verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Oh, that is wonderful, isn't it? What are we coming with? What are our hands filled with when we go into the presence of the Lord? With all the things he has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That wonderful Lamb of God that was slain. Now, worship is to return all of that to the Father. What he wants to hear is not how good we have been, how nicely we have done, and the things are going all right, and so on and so forth. What he wants to hear is, he wants to hear how precious his Son is to us. How wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. All the things he means to us. All the things he's done for us. Now, this is making it possible for us to worship always. There's never a minute or never a day where you cannot worship the Lord. He gave you the reason to worship. And he even gave you hands filled with his blessings so that you can appear before him. And if you come like that, giving praise to the Father because of his Son, you will find that the gates, they open up. When the Father listens to all that we have to say about his Son, his heart is touched. Oh, he wants to take us into his presence immediately, and we have contact with him. And then we can really start the work of prayer. If you go to Hebrews 13, it speaks about these offering sacrifices of praise. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us continually or always offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Through him, let us always, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, the secret is the word through him. As we come through the Son of God, as we come into the presence of the Father with his wonderful name upon our lips, telling the Father of all the blessings that the Son has given us, telling him about that precious blood, about that cross, that agony, about that wonderful resurrection, about that wonderful salvation that he imparted into our lives, then we will find that the gates will yield and we can go right into the presence of God our Father, and then we are ready for prayer. Oh, it's such a secret, prayer and praise. We must learn to worship, and we can worship him, all of us. It's no problem. It's not a matter of emotions or getting in the mood for worship. It's a matter of coming in the right manner and coming with whatever he has given us and return it. It's such a wonderful thing that we don't have to come with our own lives or our own works. But we have something much better. You can worship the Lord anytime, brother. You need not have any problem at all, because he is there, that wonderful Lord and Savior, But everything he has given us, and as soon as we take him to the Father, we will experience how the presence of the Lord is felt, and we are ready to pray. Now, it's not only a matter of having some words to offer with our lips. You noticed here what the scripture said, that hence let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. It's more than just uttering some words of thanksgiving and praise. It is that we go out to him, that we leave anything else and everything else, and we go out to be with him in his sacrifice for us, and we remember the Lord. This really meaning we remember the Lord. We remember what he did for us. We remember the cross. We remember his death. We remember the blood. We remember his victory and resurrection. We are together with him. We partake in his suffering. I think that the Father is becoming spellbound whenever it is put before him what his dear Son has done. In all eternity we shall see the Lord Jesus as the Lamb that was newly slain. This is what touches the heart of the Father. And if we could learn that lesson, to come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, we will see that we will be able to make contact very easily, and then we will be able to get down to the word of prayer. But praise does something else for us than bringing us into the presence of the Lord. It do bring the presence of the Lord right into our situation. It not only gives us an entering into the throne, but somehow it brings the throne down into our situation. And that is a marvelous thing, because wherever the throne is, the Lord reigns. Isn't that true? Wherever the Lord is enthroned, he reigns, and his power is felt, and no enemy can stand in the presence of the Lord. He has to flee. So if you look up in Psalm 22, you know the very familiar word that speaks of the meaning of the power of praise, Psalm 22, verse 1 to 3. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon praises, upon the praises of Israel. I know this is the messianic psalm speaking about the Lord Jesus in a prophetic way, but it's also a psalm of David in his situation. And for me, it's been very significant that this opening of the psalm really speaks of a man who really hasn't got any contact at all. He's cut off from the presence of God. He's left alone. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer. There's no contact. There's nobody in the other end of the line. He's trying to make contact. I don't know whether David really had forgotten something here, because certainly he says, yet thou art holy, and thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Maybe if he had, pardon me for saying this, it's only an illustration, if he had opened up the psalm in another way, and if he had begun to praise the Lord and worship the Lord, maybe he wouldn't have had that difficulty to make a contact, or that feeling of being cut off or left alone. But here we see that the scripture says that thou art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. So not only when we praise the Lord, we enter into the throne, but somehow the throne enters into us. The throne is coming into our situation, and that does really mean that the power and the reign of God is coming upon us, and His authority will be with us. And that is something that we need, especially when we are to pray and to exercise spiritual warfare, that the Lord has raised His throne in our midst. If you go to Psalm 149, you see the combination of worship and prayer. Psalm 149, verse 5. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nation and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all His godly ones. Praise the Lord. It begins with, let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And then it goes on into spiritual warfare, into really prayer. And prayer is, and spiritual warfare is, to execute the authority and the vengeance, the throne power of God upon nations, upon situations we are in. But it opens up with, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hand. I've often felt that this is the only way that we can get through to the two-edged sword, which is the word that the Lord will speak to us whenever we are in spiritual warfare and prayer. We need the Lord to speak to us. Give us the word, Lord. When we have to speak to the mountains, or if we have to speak to the enemy, if we have to execute God's vengeance upon the enemy, we need Him to speak to us. And the two-edged sword is the word that comes to us through the Holy Spirit in that situation that we are in. And when we speak that word, the enemy is finished. But how do we come into a position where we really can get hold of the two-edged sword? By waiting upon the Lord in praise and worship. So we see it's essential for us that we really give ourselves to praise the Lord and worship Him. You know how they fought the battle in the time of King Jehoshaphat? He got that most extraordinary idea. After waiting upon the Lord and seeking the face of the Lord, and one of the prophets began to speak, he got that strange idea to put the temple singers in front of the army. And as they walked out to meet this big army of enemies, there was the temple singers in front of them. And they didn't say, "Get behind me, Satan." This was not what they said. "Or we come against you." Sometimes we have to say that. "Or we rebuke you in the name of the Lord." All they said was, "And His mercy endureth forever." That was all what they said. They sang it out and his mercy endureth forever. It's the most extraordinary warfare that's ever been. And there they went, and before even some of the good soldiers behind could get their sword out, it was all over. The Lord took care of the enemy. We had to enter into the battle with praise and worship. We had to learn to exalt and lift up the Lord and come into his presence, into his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise. One final word from Psalm 8 and verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Now this is a remarkable word. In the Swedish Bible it says, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established an army. An army. I like that. An army. Out of these infants that has no mind to war, that don't know how to make a war, we don't know either. We don't know the enemy is much bigger than we are. It's much clever than we are. We cannot cope with him. We are no match to the enemy at all. But it's wonderful that the Lord is taking these babes and these weak infants, and out of their mouth he is establishing an army that is able to defeat the enemy. And the Lord Jesus is interpreting this verse in Matthew 21, and he said, out of the mouth of babes thou hast provided worship, praise. This is the way that we ought to fight the battle. This is the opening, the basic principle, I think, of spiritual warfare. We must learn to worship and praise the Lord, and then we will see then when we come into his presence, we will be able to really get into the matter of prayer and warfare. Let us thank the Lord together. Father, we do thank you for providing all the blessings in your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. We do thank you this morning that we are able indeed to worship you through him. Father, we do thank you that we are not cut off. We are not left alone. We are not without contact, but that we can go into your presence through that precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. You made it possible for us any time to enter in. Father, we do ask you, Father, we do ask you really to teach us to come in the right manner. Teach us this procedure, Lord. Yes. Lord, that we remember that you are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the Holy God, the Almighty One. Father, we so much would like to really know how to stay in your presence, be before you, so that you can use us, Lord, as empty as we are in ourselves. Lord, we are just babes. We are just infants. We are nothing. We know it. And as it comes to the matter of prayer and spiritual warfare, we know, Lord, that we are inadequate in any way and every way to do anything about it. Lord, we just want you to impress upon our hearts that you provided for us in the Lord Jesus everything that we need. Even in the matter of praise and worship, Lord, we sense that there are some amongst us that that has not really found that release within their hearts of offering up a sacrifice of praise to you. Lord, touch us. Lord, we want to be a people of praise, a people of worship, a people that honor our God. Teach us, Lord, and help us to enter into your gates and into your presence with thanksgiving and with praise. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.